Hello, everyone. My name is Brian Collier, and I'm an author and illustrator of picture books. And I'm glad to be here today. We're going to talk about a bunch of things, but I have one hard question that I want to ask everybody. If you're an artist, raise your hand up high. Artist. Any writers here? We have any authors and writers? They're artists, too. Okay, here's the biggest question of the day. Somebody raise your hand and tell me what a collage is. Who knows what a collage is? You know it. Go. A piece of paper. With what? With paper on top. Okay, that's a good start. She said a piece of paper with paper on top. Somebody tell me what a collage is. Add to it. You know it. Go. You glue something else together on a piece of paper. Okay, that's a good start. One more chance. Tell us what a collage is. Go. You glue a piece of paper on top of another piece of paper to make art. Is that what you're saying? You know, I asked this question, I was in Connecticut or somewhere. I was asking a group of kids, and I said, somebody tell me what a collage was. And they said some of the things that you just said, but I said, everybody freeze. And you know what we did next? We made a pizza instead. I asked them what a collage was, but we made a pizza instead. Somebody raise your hand and tell me what goes on a pizza. One thing. Give me one thing that goes on a pizza. One. Go. Tomatoes. What do you say? Pepperoni. Make it. Well, we got that. Go. Cheese. Make the pizza. What's missing? What's missing? Go. Olive. What color? Green or black? What kind of you? Black. Okay, I like that. Pizza. Pineapple. Okay, what about that thing at the bottom that... The pizza and, go ahead. The bread, the crust, something else. One more thing. Look at me. It's at the pizza shop. Sometimes you shake it on. Sometimes you sprinkle it on. What's that? It's for the taste. You sprinkle it on. It's on the pizza. What is that? It's at the pizza shop. You shake it on. What is it? What's that? Talk to me. What is it? Talk to me. Sprinkle it on. You know it. Pepper, what else? Cheese, Parmesan cheese, what else? Let's be healthy. You can put salt on it, I guess. So, okay, we named all those ingredients. They have nothing to do with each other until you put them together and you make something one or you make something whole. Isn't that a collage as well? Yes, isn't that a collage? That's the point I'm trying to make. That's the collage. It doesn't matter what materials. So that's what I do when I make books. But I got to tell you a story before I get to the book that we're going to focus on. When I graduated from art school, I said, you know what? I want to make books. Because my favorite book was, when I was four, was Snowy Day, Ezra Jack Keats, Harold and the Purple Crayon. Do y'all know about Harold? Who knows Harold and the Purple Crayon? Okay, I'm getting ready to blow everybody's mind in this room. Did you know I was the model for Harold and the Purple Crayon? Yeah. I was the child model for Harold and the Purple Crayon. I was destined to do this. I'm just kidding. I really wasn't. But I thought I was. Here's why I thought I was. When I opened the book and I saw what Harold could do with that crayon, it was magic. It was incredible. And in Snowy Day, and it's okay. I have three kids. I love it. In Snowy Day, the little boy named Peter, he looked just like me. The boy even had my pajamas on in that book, Snowy Day. That's what I love about books. It was magical from the very beginning. So when I graduated from art school, I said I wanted to make a book. Here's what I did. I put my artwork together, and I went to a publishing house in Manhattan, and I showed it to them. I said, I want to make books. Guess what they said? No. I went to another one the next week, and guess what they said? No. How about the third week? Different publishing house. They said no. The fourth week? No. But guess what? I went every week, once a week for 7 years until they said yes. And that's how I got my first book published. It's called Uptown. The point that I want to tell you is that if you have a story to tell, don't give up. Chase it until it gets done. It's important. The world is waiting to hear from you. Uptown is a real quick story. The little boy on the cover is my nephew. His name is Justin White. He was 8 years old when he posed for the book. He's 28 years old now. This kid grew up with a book about himself, just like Peter did in Snowy Day. That's amazing for you to see yourself in a book. Uptown is real quick, but you got to pay attention to the details. That's what picture books make us do. They make us pay attention to the details. You got to read the pictures too. It's real quick. If you can just hear this word, it says, Uptown's a caterpillar. Well, it's really the Metro North as it eases over the Harlem River. Uptown is chicken and waffles served around the clock. At first, it seems like a weird combination, but it works. Uptown is a row of brownstones. I like the way they come together when you look at them down the block. They look like they're made of chocolate. Uptown is weekend shopping on 125th Street. The vibe is always jumping as people bounce to their own rhythms. Uptown is a stage. The Apollo Theater has showcased the greatest entertainers in the world. I hope we get good seats. Uptown is jazz. My grandfather says jazz and Harlem are a perfect match, just like chicken and waffles. It's in the details. Please don't let me run over this little child. Uptown is a barbershop. It's where last night's ball game could be more important than last night's ball game. Uptown is a Van Der Zee photograph. I saw a picture from before my dad was even born, a picture of my grandparents' wedding day. Uptown is summer basketball at the Rutgers. Anyone can rise up and be a superstar for a day. We're almost there. Stay with me. We're almost there. Uptown is canvas awnings on the windows to block the sun. It's like the buildings are all dressed up. Now, Uptown is little sisters. They're on their way to church in matching yellow dresses. Uptown is the orange sunset over the Hudson River. That means it's time for the streetlights to come on, for me to get home and get changed. Question, what is he getting changed to do? Where is he going? Parents, you can answer that too. To bed, great guess, but that's not it. It's in the details. Picture books make us slow down. Go. Where is he going?
To a party.
To a party, that's a great guess, but that's not it. Where? Didn't he say, I hope we get good seats at the Apollo Theater? Details. Come on. We got to keep moving. Uptown is a song sung by the Boys Choir of Harlem. Each note floats through the air and lands like a butterfly. Why is the word butterfly important there? It's in the details. You got to slow down.
Because they're in an airplane.
Because they're... the trains. Great guess, but that's not it. What was the first line of the book? Uptown is a... caterpillar. Now, what does the caterpillar and the butterfly have to do with each other? What's the connection? If the book started off as a caterpillar, who said that? Who said metamorphosis? Stand up. That's what a superstar looks like. Right there. You see that? That's beautiful. Uptown is Harlem. Harlem world. It's my world. Uptown is home. That was the first book. I've been blessed enough to do 32 books since. And we're going to talk about the one that comes out really, really soon. Who's heard of this guy named Mo Williams? He's a rookie, I heard. I work with him, though. Oh, he's a buddy of mine. He's a great guy. And we did a book together. But before I get to that, I wanted to show you something else. I brought some original art here, and here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to hand it out to every family here, the original artwork, just to get it out of my space. You ready for it? I do watercolor and collage. I was kidding about handing out the work, but I do watercolor and collage, and it takes me 7 to 10 days to do each piece of artwork. It takes me about 4 to 6 months to do a book, basically, to paint it. I don't always get it right the first time. Even when I'm writing, I don't get it right the first time. Who likes to rewrite? Anybody likes to rewrite? Write and rewrite? Well, that's good. That's how you get better, right?
Yeah.
Well, that's what I do.
Make mistakes is how you get better.
Say that again.
Make mistakes is how you get better.
All right, all right. Watercolor, collage. Now, you see those ingredients we named when we named that pizza? Look at all the ingredients. Now, I started doing collage because when I was 4, my grandmother used to make quilts, a lot of quilts. I think that's the connection. Can't you see the quilt maker's hand in the work? Influenced by a quilt maker. That's what I did. So I did my first book, and I was interested in history as well. So I did a book on Dr. King called Martin's Big Words and Rosa Parks and all those historical moments I wanted to do as well. But then I discovered new history. Who's heard of Dave the Potter? He has pots here in Boston. Dave the Potter. Who's heard of it? Incredible story. It's brand new history. Incredible. 200 years ago on a plantation in Edgefield, South Carolina, Dave made clay pots. What's so interesting is that he was not only a master potter, but he wrote poetry on the outside of the clay pots. As a slave, 200 years ago. They just discovered those pots in recent years, maybe 25 years ago. A gentleman named Laban Carrick Hill was watching the Antique Roadshow, and the pot came up. He jotted it down and said, I'm going to write about it, and he wrote this. That's how I got the story. But I had to do research. But, you know, this is how the story goes. It's real quick. I'm not going to take much of your time. You see, to us, it's just dirt, the ground you walk on. Scoop up a handful, the gritty grains slip between your fingers. Now, on wet days, heavy with rainwater, it's cool and squishy, mud pie heaven. But today, it was clay. The plain and basic stuff upon which he learned to form a life as a slave nearly 200 years ago. To us, it's just a pot, round and tall, good for keeping marbles or fresh-cut flowers. But today, it was a pot, large enough to store a season's grain harvest, to put up salted meat, to hold memories. Each one began out of a cloud of dust, clotted clumps of clay, ground at the pug mill, carried wheelbarrow after wheelbarrow to Dave's spinning potter's wheel. With a flat wooden paddle, large enough to row across the Atlantic, Dave mixed the clay with water drawn from the Big Horse Creek until wet, stiff, and heavy. He threw the clay, sometimes 60 pounds at once. Nobody knew how or where it would land except Dave. Dave kicked his potter's wheel until it spun as fast as a carnival's wheel of fortune. And like a magician pulling a rabbit out of a hat, Dave's hands buried into the mounted mud, he pulled out the shape of a jar. His chapped thumbs pinched into the center, he squeezed his fingers from the insides against his fingers on the outside. as the wheel spun round and round, the walls of the jar rose up like a robin's puffed breast, but only so far before its immense weight threatened collapse. The jar grew so large, Dave could no longer wrap his strong arms around it. If he climbed into the jar and curled up into a ball, he would have been embraced. Only then did he stop his potter's wheel and roll long ropes of clay between his dry and caked palms. Dave mounted these coils one by one on the half-finished jar, smoothing it all together, kicking the wheel with the heel of his foot. The shoulders and rim shrugged upward as the jar took shape. Dave knew was there even before he worked the raw mound on his wheel. We're almost there. While the clay dried, Dave pounded wood ash and sand to mix a glass-like brown glaze to withstand time. But before the jar completely hardened, Dave picked up a stick and he wrote to let us know he was here. He said, "I wonder where is all my relations? Friendship to all and every nation." He boldly signed it, Dave, August 16th, 1857. Now, to appreciate that story, it was illegal for slaves to read and write. Great harm would come to them if he did so. Dave made over 40,000 pots. I went down to the plantation and pulled the inventory sheet. They also told me something interesting in my research. They said, "Well, you know Dave lost a leg in a train accident." I had two questions. How does a slave survive an amputation? One. Number two, who kicked the wheel? You can't make pottery with one leg. Impossible. He made the 40-gallon pots after he lost the leg. This story was amazing. They said, "Well, they brought another slave in that lost his arms to kick the wheel." He said, "I wonder where is all my relations, friendship to all and every nation." That part when he said, "I wonder," that blew my mind. And he said, "Another nation." He was born and died in Edgefield, South Carolina. He never went to another nation. How is he talking about another nation? History's all around us. You walk down the streets outside, history is all over. It's right there in plain sight. They found these pots in people's front yards with flowers in them. I said I was going to buy a pot before I went down until they told me how much they cost. I said I just want a little noble jar, 12 inches high, 75 grand. The bigger pots with the flowers in them, 1.5 million starting. I said, "I can't get that one." That's Dave the Potter. Your history and my history. Okay. Guess what time it is? It's shoe time. Guess what time it is? I wrote this book. Gerald and Piggy introduced this book. Who's heard of Gerald and Piggy? Who loved those two characters? They said, "Come on and write a book and let's see what you got." So I said, "What about shoes? We all have shoes, right? What if we break them up? Who has mismatched shoes?" Well, that's what this book is about. The little girl goes to the closet, said, "I choose you and I choose you." And she snatches the shoes and runs. But the shoes that were left in the closet, they lose their mind. How can you break us up? We're always together. We're a pair. That's shoe time. This is the book we're going to be signing afterwards, so hang around, please, hang around. So here's how the story goes. You're getting a sneak preview because it doesn't hit the marketplace until November the 7th. Give that gentleman right there a hand. His name is Seal. Raise your hand, Mr. Seal. He made that happen. He made that happen. So, Gerald, it's a book. It's book time. It's book time. It's shoe time. It's shoe time. Kind of. It's both. Welcome to Shoe Time, written by Brian Collier. What you'll notice in the book is it's the first time that a human being interacts with Gerald and Piggy. I was excited about that. I was excited two times about that because you know why? My six-year-old daughter is the little girl. I just want to get to it and show you. There she is right there. She has to see herself in the book. It's important that we see all kinds of faces in the book. Just like Peter from Snowy Day and even Harold in his own way. I mean, our heads were shaped the same. It's Shoe Time. So let's get to it. That's real quick. Pat, pat, pat. You hear that? Hear what? Pat, pat, pat. You hear that? It's the sounds of the shoes. Pat, pat, pat. Oh, pat, pat. That's it. Lefty, righty, ready? We're ready. There's the shoes talking in the dark. It is Shoe Time. Today's a big day. Daddy and me day. Time to choose the right shoe. Pick us, yay. Hey, pick us. That's what they all say, pick us. Will I choose fancy shoes? Everyone knows we keep you on your toes. Will I choose flip-flops? Yes, 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 or no, no, no. Will I choose boots? We look neat on your feet. Will I choose sneakers? We are afraid. Not. So, hold on. I will choose you, and I'm gonna choose you. So she snatches it, and chaos ensues. The book is out front. I know I'm gonna give you a little cliffhanger. Anybody have any questions? Her name is Chloe. Chloe. I try to put almost every kid in my neighborhood in books. Everywhere I move, I live in New York. Everywhere I moved, I used kids in the neighborhood as well as my own in books. Because they may not realize how big it is and how what that means, what their childhood really means until they get older. But this legacy building, them seeing themselves in books and other kids seeing kids that look like them in books. That's so important visually. Just the aesthetics of making a book is so, so important. And then again, the world runs so fast. A picture book makes you slow down, read the pictures, consider that visual storyline that happens as well. That's what I like. Our visual reading is important as well. Questions, anyone? I got a question for you. Raise your hand if you seriously want to write a book. It took me 7 years to get a book done. Who really wants to make a book today? Okay, 1, 2, 3. Talk to this man right here. His name is Seal. He'll do it. Questions, anyone? Okay, I got a little bit more time. I'm going to take up some time here. Watercolor, collage. I did a book on Roberto Clemente. Incredible ball player. Incredible humanitarian. He was the MVP of the World Series. That year there was an earthquake in Managua, Nicaragua. Here's what Roberto did in the 70s. Here's what he did. He filled up a plane full of supplies and medicine. And he sent it over to Puerto Rico. The plane landed there, but the troops over there stole the supplies. They called back and said, Roberto, you got to get on the plane. Because he was so well-respected around the world, he filled up another plane full of supplies out of his own pocket. He got on the plane, but the plane didn't make it. Service and sacrifice. Big themes. Roberto Clemente, Dr. King, Rosa Parks. Those three books are connected. Stories telling. I am out of time. Thank you for your time. It has been an honor. We're going to sign some books in a minute.